Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio with Tanya and Janelle and Tara and myself, Sandy. And last time we were in Matthew 17, and it was the Transfiguration where the three disciples eyewitnessed Jesus' transfiguration. What an awesome thing that would be to see. And now we're going in, we're going to go kind of back to chapter 14.
I skipped one.
That's all right.
And so I wanted to make sure we didn't miss it. I couldn't believe I skipped it.
Now, this one's on Peter walking on water, and of course, seeing Jesus first walking on water, and it's all about faith, little faith.
Yeah.
In big places sometimes.
Right. You know, as I was preparing for this particular passage, it just happens to be in a season in my life where the schedule is intense. Mm-hmm. I can't keep up with everything that we have that needs to be done between everybody's schedules in our home. And so my prep time has been so slim. And I was just crying out to God, I can't do what I need to do. I am not doing what I normally do. And I just desperately need you, and I need you to show up. And I had what was about an hour and a half carved out time, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to shut down and just walk away from the family and just spend time with you. And as I was preparing, he really ministered to me. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is that I didn't realize it as I was, all that was happening within me, that it's exactly what happens in this passage with Jesus and the crowds. And so to set the context, we're looking at the events that, you know, they have been in the process of mourning John the Baptist because he's been beheaded. And Jesus was out with them, and he has just done the miraculous in feeding with the fishes and the loaves thousands of people. And they have seen as a community what Christ can do. And at this point, he takes them to the other side, and he sends the crowds away, and so that's what this passage is about. So let's look at that. In Matthew 14, 22 through 36, it says, so Jesus immediately, he was putting the disciples into the boat and sent them ahead to the other side, and he sent all the people away. And after the people were gone, he went up the mountain to pray by himself. Well, when evening came, a strong wind was blowing and the waves began to grow. The boat was tossing, and they were a couple of hundred yards offshore, and Jesus could see that they were, the disciples were struggling to row the boat, and it was probably about between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. And he began to walk on the water out to them. Well, the disciples, when they saw him, they were terrified. They were like, is this a ghost? And they began to scream and shout because they were so afraid. And Jesus immediately said, take courage, it's I. And don't be afraid. So Peter cries out, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. And as he is walking on the water, he sees the wind and he's afraid. And he begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me. So Jesus goes over to him, reaches out his hand, and he lifts up and says, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Well, when Jesus and Peter climbed into the boat, the wind died completely down, and the disciples were amazed, and they cried out, truly, you are the Son of God. So when they reached Gennesaret and they were anchored, the people immediately recognized that it was Jesus. And they went and they told everybody in the region. And as they were going and telling the people, they began to bring all that were sick. And they were begging and pleased to heal. And it says that everybody who touched his coat, they were healed. May God honor the telling of his word. It's absolutely an amazing passage of scripture. And there's all kinds of great things that happen. And so I just, before we get started, I wanted us just to process just your quick thoughts on when you hear this passage, what comes to mind to your heart when we read this passage? What's on y'all's hearts?
Well, I kept thinking about when God calls me to do something or out of my comfort zone.
That's
you know,
good.
I need to get out of the boat. Don't just have both feet straddling it or whatever, but yeah, because he's going to be there to help me.
That's good. That's good. Janelle?
Every time I read this passage, the first thing that sticks out to me is the only word that Jesus says in the first part of it, like not the first part, but one of the first things he said is come.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he knew that Peter was going to fail, but he saw his desire and his longing to be with him, and he opened his arms and said, come.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty picture. That's good. That's good. Tanya, what speaks to you?
I think each time I read it, it's okay, with the Lord, all things are possible. So Peter takes a step out into the water, but then as soon as he takes his eyes off the Lord and on what's surrounding him, mm-hmm. and pulling him down, that's when he begins to mm-hmm. sink.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm. So I was reading it, and we'll process through a lot of things, but I want to start with why did Jesus send the disciples to the other side? I mean, it was one of the first questions that came to my heart. I processed by asking questions, and I was like, okay, they've just seen the miraculous. They're all mourning John the Baptist. And yet it says, you know, he sent them on and he sent the crowds away.
Mm-hmm. I think it was back to the time again. It wasn't time to reveal who he really was.
Yeah.
The Messiah.
Yeah.
And I think that's who they were looking for at that minute.
Do you think that they were demanding that he become the Messiah, what they had been told would come, and the expectations? And, you know, and that's pretty much what the commentators say. You know, it is that the people at this point, once they saw what he could do with the feeding of the fishes and the loaves, then it was just,
that's understandable.
Right.
Right.
You know, that people would do that.
And I read in the, IVP commentary, and I thought this was so profound, and they said that a wise teacher will always know what's needed by the student. And, you know, in observing what's going on with the people, he is seeing that there needs to be some time where they step away and, you know, go home, you know, that kind of thing, and that he needs to step away. Mm-hmm. He needs time as well, and the disciples need time. And I was thinking to some different times in my life and different circumstances. And whenever I go on a mission trip and whenever my children go on mission trips, one of the things they always do before we come back stateside or we go back home from, if it's here nationally, is they do one day of debriefing, is what they call it. They do a day where you're no longer on mission, but you're not home, but you're together. You know, or, you know, you can have time alone. They allow the freedom of people to choose how they're going to do. And the first time I experienced that, I thought, why are we wasting our time? We're on mission. We, you know, we got to be with the people. We'll not be in this place ever again, you know. Mm-hmm. And but after experiencing all that I had experienced in Brazil and Argentina and Paraguay, and then having the day of debriefing, where we had time, on that particular trip, we went to Argentina's Cataratas, which are the huge waterfalls, and it's the, I can't remember how to say it in Portuguese, but it's the Devil's Throat. Mm-hmm. It is the world's largest waterfall.
Wow.
And it's shaped almost like a throat's esophagus, and the water's just dropping down it, and mm-hmm. I think that's why they got the name. And we walked up in the morning up to it, and then in the afternoon we went over the top part, so we did both parts, but we were walking this trail and we're in creation, and I was able to draw near to God and talk to him about everything I had seen over the last 16 days, and it was a holy pause.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
It was a holy pause, and that's what Jesus was providing.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted the people to take a holy pause. And I think sometimes we forget, and the busyness of being with others and doing kingdom work, mm-hmm. that we need time to have a holy pause. And the power, the strength that we get in drawing near the Father. And so I'm just curious, you know, have you had moments when you've done that? You've mm-hmm. taken time to have a holy pause? What did they look like? What did you do?
I think that's when you're sitting quietly and just waiting for him to tell you and talk to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Feel his presence with you.
Yeah. You know, I learned at the Cataratas, it can happen while you're hiking. I'm watching a butterfly land.
Well, I think out in creation is always a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just that moment to where it's you and God and all. So how about you, Janelle?
When I was younger, we have a swing set out in front of my house. It's a swing that's tied to the tree, and I would sit out on that swing for hours and just think thoughts to God and just talk to God. And it was, you know, like there would be questions that I'd be struggling with, like, what is the purpose of entertainment? Does that, you know, if our purpose is to glorify you, how does that reflect that? And I just, you know, process through those things and, you know, spent hours and hours just talking to God. And it was amazing. You know, I would come to him with an issue in my life that was so pressing. And then by the end of that time, it's like, oh, your glory and your purpose is so much bigger than my life. Mm-hmm. And I would sometimes not know the exact practical application that I was supposed to have, but my perspective was changed. And that was what I needed.
I hope I get to know her a long time because I want to see what God's going to do with your life because it's going to be great.
I think that's a given. She's ours.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. I love it, love it,
love she's it. Written her own psalm.
Yeah.
Coming with the perplexities of life
yeah.
and leaving with the perspective change.
That's awesome, isn't it? That's good. Mm-hmm. You know, Tanya, repeat what you just said. I want to, coming with the perspectives in
with
life.
With the perplexities of life.
With the perplexities, and then say it again.
Of life, and leaving with a changed perspective.
Have you heard that before?
No.
Me neither.
Huh. Okay, y'all, that was worth writing down. Okay. I'm writing it down, different perspective. That is like the holy word for the day for me. I'm going to take that one to the bank.
Me too.
Okay, coming with the perplexities of life and leaving with a different perspective. That one needs to be tweeted. That's a Twitter one. And that's exactly right. That is, she just gave us a perfect definition of the holy pause. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading about this, one commentator used a phrase that was a really important phrase that I feel that God gave me early on when I first surrendered to the call to women's ministry. And this commentator said that Jesus was jealous for his time with God. And I don't even remember which commentator said that.
I read that somewhere,
did
too.
You? Mm-hmm. And I can remember when I first realized God was calling me out into women's ministry that I was talking with the women's director at church, and I told her, I said, I do not want to teach somebody else's material. And I said, I am jealous for God. I want to hear directly from God. I don't want it to be because somebody else has told me what they have heard. Mm. And she said, okay, that's exactly what we're looking for.
Right.
Submit to us your material. So he's jealous for his time with God. Mm-hmm. And that's what needs to happen in us. And the purpose of that holy pause is that we will ponder what is going on and leave with the perspective of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what he is wanting to allow the people to do by sending them away. He's giving them time to contemplate what they have seen and heard. Mm-hmm. He knows that they are looking for the Messiah to do what they want him to do, but it's not time yet. They need time to just reflect.
Yep. And they're caught up in the excitement.
And the disciples to send them so that they can do it, and him so that he can get filled by the Father. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage us that are listening, what are we doing to make sure that we cultivate that holy pause in us? What are we doing to make sure that we are taking the time to withdraw from the crowds and be with them? And this is heavy on my heart right now because I feel at Grace University, I'm in my sweet spot. Mm. I love nothing more than to be with my kumquats. Yesterday, Janelle came in. She sat in my office, and I mean, I think it was maybe I had 4 minutes, 5 minutes with her, but I just felt like I had this breath of life come into me as she came in and sat and chatted with me because she's getting ready to go on a mission trip to Germany, and she's raising her funds to go, and she's talking about the faith that it's requiring of her and everything. And when she left, I just was like, God, I'm just so refreshed. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, another person walks right in my room. And she goes, are you so glad that you're leaving because of Christmas break? And I just looked at her and I go, you know what? No, I love being with you guys. Mm-hmm. But yes, I know I need the time so I can refresh, refuel, rejuvenate, and draw near to God so that I can then pour out again. Because mm-hmm. my flesh says, I've got to be with my peeps. Mm-hmm. I've got to be there with them to talk to them, mm-hmm. process with them, and hear what's going on in their lives. And they're all going all over, actually, the world. I mean, we have people, I've heard somebody's going overseas. You know, some of them aren't even staying here in the States. Mm-hmm. And so they're scattering everywhere. And but they have to do that, and I have to do that so that we can all withdraw and be fed mm-hmm. and come back and start over. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that that happens. David Guzik quoted John 6, 14 through 15. Tanya, would you open in your Bible and read that for us?
Sure.
So John 6, yep. 14 through 15. And so I wanted us just to see how the people were responding to Jesus, to see how urgent they were about that messianic thought process.
Okay. It says, when the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we have been expecting. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself.
Okay. That used a great word. What were they trying to do? They were trying to
force.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And David Guzik says it was a mentality of it has to be now. Mm-hmm. And so part of a holy pause is also for us to see God's timing mm-hmm. in order to understand his purposes and why it's the time frame it has to happen and not to push it. And so as you were thinking through how you might want to withdraw to God, Sandy suggested you just take time to get alone. Mm-hmm. Janelle was on a swing. Tanya, what do you do?
I literally have to hide.
Hide? Yeah, you have children.
She has young children.
In the closet. And I'm kind of in the season like you, Tara, where it's the schedule and the time mm-hmm. is slim. And my heart is so wanting it. I need it so bad for a couple hours. I'm just waiting to dine with him. So yeah. I have to hide. Yeah. Be alone.
Or get up earlier.
Up early.
Yep. I had to use to do just that.
I have to get up early. Mm-hmm. I intentionally make myself get out, even though I may be tired, mm-hmm. between the 4 and 5 is my norm. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't, I won't have God time.
Right.
It's the minute somebody gets up. And the other day, my husband was like, you know, he said something to me, and I said, my feet are not getting off the seat from where I'm sitting. And he goes, why? Because mommy has learned, this is what I told him, mommy has learned that if her feet touch the ground, my Bible study time with God is done, and family yeah. time has begun. Mm-hmm. And so I have learned that I even, like, will hold off on when I interact with the family for that reason. Right. So I just want to encourage those that are listening to find your time of holy pause, just like Jesus did with the disciples that day after the miraculous movement of the feeding of the 5,000. God bless.